5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello. Welcome to another hour of Tech Talk. It's me, Stephen Scott. Robin Christofferson's here as always. Hello, Robin.
Hello. How's it going?
I'm good. I could do with more coffee, but I'll get to that in a minute. Tim Schwartz is here, who definitely needs some coffee. Hello, Tim Schwartz.
Hello, Robin. Hello, Stephen. How are you, gentlemen?
Come on. How many coffees have you had today, guys? Come on, tell me.
Zero.
Sorry, that's because you're just up, right? So you just
I don't drink coffee. You always forget this. I know an American who doesn't drink coffee. I know it's horrible, but
You're going to tell me you don't eat donuts, and at which point I'll stop believing you.
Oh, no. Not. That's just ridiculous.
What he doesn't do in coffee, he makes up for.
He makes up for in donuts.
I definitely make up for in donuts, yes.
Right, Robin, how many coffees today? Come on.
Yeah, so I only do real coffee, 3 of those and about 4 teas.
Hang on a minute. What do you mean by real coffee? As opposed to what? What's fake coffee? Instant? Is that not real?
Yeah, no. Mm. Sorry.
Okay, are you one of those
people? You're on that page, aren't you?
Well, see, this is the thing, right? So I bought myself, as you know, I've talked about it before, I got the Tassimo coffee machine. Mm-hmm. I had one before, and I got a new one just before lockdown, timely. And it was something I bought just at the turn of the year. And then, of course, we went into lockdown, and that machine has been used a lot over the past year and a bit, 2 years nearly. And in fact, probably longer than, is it longer than 2 years? I've lost all track of time. But yeah, it's a long time. Probably had come out to 2 years, actually, to be fair. And
almost.
Yeah. And, you know, I was looking at this poor little thing as it's sort of chugging away, trying to make me a coffee the other day. And it's kind of trying its best to, you know, pour me out a coffee. It needs some cleaning. And who's got the time for that, right? So I'm thinking, right, there must be an alternative out there. Must be something else I could do to give this poor machine a rest.
I'm still trying to figure out why it sounds like me going up and down the steps. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, it's a lot of coffee. There's a lot of coffee going through it, let me tell you.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I was looking into this. Now, we did try, and we sent it back, actually. We got one of those Nespresso machines, is that what they call it? Mm-hmm. And it's one of those ones, I feel, Robin, this is more for you. I think you would have liked this because it's got, you know, your kind of coffee lunga or venga bus or, you know, whatever the thing is, right, that the coffee's called. I honestly had no idea what I was buying for this thing. I mean, nothing made sense. Everything was, it felt like it was an Italian, which means it's real, I guess, right? That's probably more your cup of coffee, yep. I'd imagine.
Yep. Yeah. We have filter. We've always had filter coffee machines because I need quality, but I also need loads of it. So none of these ones that give you a tiny little shot or anything. So we've got a DeLonghi one. I think that's a bit Italian. It was all at 25 quid. You put your filter in, you whack loads of fresh ground coffee at the top, and then it filters through. And that's good enough
for us.
Well, that's
the irony.
I think you're on a different level.
No, but that's the thing. I think you're on the right track here, actually. It's cheaper to do what you're doing because you're spending the money on the coffee itself. Whereas what I'm doing is spending ridiculous amounts of money on, you know, earth-destroying pods and, you know, coffee machines that cost a fortune that don't really deliver that great a taste. And that was the point. So I was kind of getting a bit fed up with the taste of some of them. I wasn't liking some of the choices, but I've always wanted to have that kind of, you know, Starbucks or Costa at home type thing. And you don't get that. You get a little bit of it, but not a huge amount. Anyway, I find the Nescafe Dolce Gusto, and I'm like, oh, hang on, they do Starbucks, they do Costa. You can even get like Mars Bar Milky Way drinks. I'm like, no way.
Classic.
Okay, amazing. Now we might be talking.
I think this is my level, right? This is low level.
Yeah.
I'm into this. So I don't think most people might consider Starbucks and Costa to be low level, but especially at the cost of their coffees. But at the same token, for me, this is exactly what I want. I want some choice in that area, and I want to know what I'm drinking. It's like those people that go in, you know, for wine or from fancy foods. You know, I want it to say burger with cheese on a bun. I don't want it to be hints of mint with, you know, grass covering or whatever. Yeah, I don't want all that nonsense. I just want a burger and bun and cheese.
What?
Well, you mentioned Mars bar, so keep talking. I'm interested.
Well, this is the thing, right? So you get the chocolate bar drinks, you get all that stuff. So this is kind of where I'm at. I'll be honest, I'm not as big on the chocolate stuff. My wife likes hot chocolate. Weirdly,
oh, yeah.
I'm very weird when it comes to chocolate, right? You know I don't like it in the fridge.
Snob.
I am. I don't like it in the fridge, but I don't like it in hot drinks. Can't do hot chocolate. Don't like it. Disgusting.
Room temperature only.
Room temperature only chocolate. It has to be on that point of melting. Just at the turn. A light sweat, shall we say. Perspiring. That's where I'm at with my chocolate bars, but not in a hot drink.
Your tips to your mouth, yeah.
Yes.
As a sidebar, I actually asked the A-lady today how much the average person sweats in a day, because I don't sweat, it's part of my eye condition. And I'm thinking, weird. I'm going to the loo an awful lot during the day. I mean, it is those 3 coffees and 4 cups of tea or whatever.
Yes.
But that aside, I was interested, between 500 and 1,000 millilitres, so basically between half and a whole litre, people sweat. So yeah, I'm...
Which is why, health tip here from me, what? But health tip, there should be a klaxon for this, really. You should drink as much as you put in. So if you put in, say, 2 or 3 coffees a day, you should drink as much of that in water, because then
which
you're
replenishing. Which you get in posh cafes, don't you? They That's give you right. a glass of water as well.
Yes, yep. they do. I didn't say this last week, but on the cruise, we went for afternoon tea. And what they did was, I knew the place was posh. I mean, I had no idea what I was eating. I mean, some of it tasted nice. I could not tell you for love nor money what it was I was eating. And you know that way, what I loved was everybody in the restaurant was going, oh, yeah, it's very nice. And I'm thinking, nobody knows what anything you're eating here. Nobody knows anything about this stuff. What is this stuff? But what made me laugh
were they
was...
they petit fours?
I do know what that is.
Little samples of every different kind of cake
I've
there is.
Never heard it described that way in my life. You are way too posh. That's what you get for being a lord, you see. But no, so there I am sitting there, and they come over before we start. They say, close your eyes. Yeah, be careful. I've heard this one before. I've lost a wallet this way before. Mm-hmm. Close your eyes, and they spray this thing in the air. I mean, I don't know what it is. And I actually got offended. I said, it wasn't me. And they're like, no. It's to help cleanse your palate. A lot of rubbish, right?
It sounds like Heston Blumenthal restaurant.
It was very posh. Yeah, it was very posh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should have seen the bill. But anyway. All good. So, look, lots to talk about. Not coffee machines, but I do love my coffee machines. They're not particularly accessible, but you know what? You just chuck the pod in and go, and that's kind of what I like, right? I mean, the Tassimo machines are great because you don't need to do anything other than just physically put a pod in, slam the thing down gently, and then hit the button. There's one button on it, which makes it go. And as long as you make sure there's a cup underneath, I have forgotten... but you have to remember to put the cup underneath
it. Out of the tray.
That's what the drip tray is for, didn't you know? It's an extra cup. But yeah, so anyway, that's that. Shall we talk about Amazon? Because that's the big news of the week, since we are here to
Something,
talk about technology.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazon had an event.
Woohoo.
Okay, so sure. Look, there's lots of stuff to talk about, but... The only thing to really get interested in is the robot, right? I mean, everybody's talking about Astro, the bizarre little robot. I said this on the show. Did we not have Dennis Stansbury from Amazon on the show? And I said to him, what you need to do is you need to create the Amazon Echo on wheels. I'm sure I said this to him. So, you know, it's my idea. I expect some remuneration.
I've got a feeling it had probably been in production a tiny weeny bit before you said that.
You think so?
Yeah, he was probably embargoed.
Where's the proof?
A little smile.
Where's the proof?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's all IP.
Yeah. Well, look, I thought I'd be excited by this because I do love the idea of an Echo on Wheels. Astro is its name. I guess, and tell me I'm wrong here because you guys watched this as well. Is Astro the new name for, like, Lady A in this case? So it's not Lady A, it's actually Mr. A?
Yes. Yes, you would actually say that A word instead of the other A word, yes. In the videos that I've seen where they demonstrate it or supposedly demonstrate it, they are referring to it as Astro.
I haven't seen many demos.
It's like R2-D2 as well.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's right. It's got the kind of little and whatever else it does. Beautifully,
yeah,
beautifully.
It sounds like if anybody's ever seen the Cosmo robots where you can, it's a tiny little, I mean, it's so small, but like probably about the size of your hand. And it makes that same noise because you can train it to do things and do puzzles and play, you know, play different games and things. And yeah, the first thing I thought of when I heard the voice of it, if you want to call it that, was very much like the Cosmo. I was hoping that it would actually sound like Astro from the Jetsons and, you know, would actually, you know, Rubber George, you know what I mean? That kind of, you know, kind of
they
thing.
Should have gone retro on it, really. Yeah, they could have done that. I mean, the thing for me is that one of my favorite Disney films, and please don't judge me, is WALL-E. Actually, my favorite Disney movie, yes, if you're really interested, is Beauty and the Beast, but that's another story. In that story, I am the Beast, to be clear. And WALL-E, for me, just was a brilliant movie. My wife thought it was the most ridiculous movie ever made. I loved it. I still do. And Eva in it, she's... Mm-hmm. She, to me, sounds like Astro. That's what she sounds like. Because she's got the same kind of sounds, the little whoops and whoops and all the rest of it that this thing makes. What's it for, though? What are we going to do with it? Because as far as I can see, all it really is doing, I mean, there are a couple of nice things about it, right? It's got a camera built in via a periscope that it can kind of see things at a height, reasonable height. So, you know, for example, if you were wondering, if you left the house, did I turn the cooker off? You could ask Astro to go and check on it, and it would be able to raise up his little camera that would pop out his head, and it would look at the thing and, show you on the camera and relay that. So it's like having a live, movable camera. If you wanted to check on elderly relatives, for example, you could ask it to, you know, go check on Grandma, and then hopefully Grandma doesn't fall over it while she's walking along, you know, trying to get her cup of tea or whatever. So, you know, it's got some purposes, I guess, but I'm not entirely sure what, and what is the tag on this, £1,000? I mean, it's $1,000.
Yeah, and it's a day one project, which means that it's not, you know, it's kind of in beta. We're going to be beta testing it for Amazon, and it may or may not ever, you know, be a viable product.
Maybe not necessarily
in this form. Yeah, I bet there'll be things that they'll add to it, because the $9.99 is an introductory startup beta kind of thing, and I think the regular price eventually will be $1,500, I read. I believe. And it's one of those things where you have to apply, get accepted, then pay the $9.99, and then they'll possibly send you one to try. So
we'll let you spend the money. Come on in.
Right. Exactly. So eventually you might maybe get one if you're approved. And if you do, you'll get to play with it and test it. But it's probably a few years potentially before we actually could buy one off the shelf. And by then, I'm hoping they add a few more things to it, because, it's got a 10-inch touchscreen. It's got the camera, so you could do phone calls with it or ask it things, you know, get the weather and things just like you could with any other Lady A device. But, other than, it does have a cup holder. I thought that was fantastic.
That's ridiculous. No hands or anything, so somebody else has got to put the cup on it. Yeah.
Right. Well, exactly, because it's got facial recognition, so you could program it to say, you know, to know who people are. So, you know, my wife could say, take this drink to Tim and put a drink in the cup holder. And it would
Don't get ideas, Tim. Over. That's not going to happen. I mean, look, you know, it's.
But then my wife would send me a drink? No, that
exactly.
Wouldn't
that's never going to happen.
We will be like WALL-E if we have people fetching and carrying for us.
So. Well, more like Wallace and Gromit, to be fair. I mean, that's probably closer to where it is at the moment. I mean, I think this is an interesting idea, but it's like everything else at this stage, isn't it? It's very new. It's a whole new product category. It's the first time we've seen this. I still find it amazing that the people that send me, you know, lots of boxes every day make these things. I mean, clearly that's where the money's going, right? you've got plenty of cash swirling around to play with this. It's interesting to see Amazon do it.
No,
I think it's great.
I think it's awesome, and I think it's going to be wonderful. I think I get why it's got to be, you know, $1,000. I get it.
Yeah, but a lot of tech in there.
But that being said, for what it does, even if it stayed at $1,000/pounds, and, you know, I had that in disposable income, I don't know that I get it yet. Because honestly, I think it's cool and I think it's a great start. And for a day one project, I think it's fantastic. But come back to me when it also has a built-in, you know, vacuum and can do the floors and
a mop. Rubber arm,
yeah.
I don't think you'll need two if you live in a house and not a bungalow. So.
Well, that's the other thing, right? It can't climb stairs. So, you know, I was talking to my mother about it, and I said, you know, what do you think of this? Because I was kidding her on saying I was buying her one. And she said, oh, and she shouts to my dad. She's like, oh, Jim, you're getting a robot for Christmas. And he's like, what? And I'm like, no, it's a joke. It's a joke, guys. You're not getting it, right? Nope, nobody's sending me this thing.
No.
But I did show it. Her description of it, I loved I honestly should record my mother's descriptions of things for YouTube. I'd probably make a fortune off YouTube with the things my mother comes up with. But she said, it looks like a screen attached to a toilet roll. It's exactly how she put it. And because it's got big white wheels at the back, I think that's where she gets that from. But yeah, it is a strange little thing.
I've heard that's not far off.
Yeah, I don't think it is far off, is it? But it's just a really interesting idea. Again, though, that's not really what... That is the future, right? That's where the future is. That's not where they are at the moment. Actually, there were some other products they brought out a bit more up to date. I mean, the big one really being the new Echo Show. The Echo Show 15. 10's not big enough for you. You can have a 15-inch Amazon Echo and stick it on the wall. You were excited about this.
Stick it on the wall, yeah.
Yeah, I know you were excited about this, Robin, because you were imagining there would be a wall-mounted one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a nice picture frame with, you know, added smarts. Because, I mean, the Echo Shows are really good for giving you information at a glance. Obviously, if you've got working eyes, they're not that brilliant. They wouldn't be my default choice if you need to, you know, if you're a screen reader user, because Voice View, as brilliant as it is a little bit clunky to use, and she doesn't talk as much as she would if she didn't have a screen. She puts more on there, and then you have to kind of manually review it. So yeah, it's not the first choice for people that have no useful vision, but the bigger the screen, the better for people that have some useful vision. It can be your dashboard for your smart home. So you could have loads of controls for controlling things. Obviously, voice commands work as well if they're, you know, probably A-ladyfied. But yeah, I think it's really good. The bigger, the better.
This is an interesting one because it does seem a very visually led product, which is right. I mean, that's what it's for, right? They consider this to be the heart of the home. And I think that a lot of companies are competing for this space. You know, the idea of replacing the note board or the, you know, the... What do you call those boards? Peg boards, whatever they call them. Pin boards, yeah.
Board.
And you would stick it up in the kitchen and you would attach the kids' photos to it and you'd attach phone numbers and, you know, all kinds of important stuff you need to remember or just want to see. They're trying to create that with these kind of devices. So, you know, don't think of this as a device that sits like an Amazon Echo does at the moment. This is essentially in a picture frame style.
Sticky notes.
Yeah, it's got sticky notes, calendar. You can put pictures up there. You can look at your cameras as well. You know, so if you've got Ring cameras or Blink cameras, you can look at those via it. I think you can also watch some content on there probably as well. It's a big screen. So quite interesting. And also apparently it's got visual ID, which is rather interesting. So this is, it doesn't give huge amounts of details to what this does, but it can essentially tell it's you and give you the relevant information, which is quite interesting. Recipes, I imagine, is going to be a big thing on this as well, being in the kitchen. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be $250, so probably the same in pounds. Going on sale, I think, is it end of October, if I remember rightly? I think I saw it coming out end of October, thereabouts anyway. But it will be coming out. Again, I'll be intrigued to see how VoiceView works on this and what it actually gives you, because I'll be honest, as much as VoiceView is great, and Robin, you've got one of these, I have the Echo Show 10, which I like to a point, but I do wish there was a way you could tell the Amazon Echo with a screen to give the same information as you would get if you were on the audio-only device, which means I always end up going back to the Echo Dot, which I love, you know.
Show and tell is useful. So you need a screen because you need a camera, you know, where you can point, you can hold up tins and packets and things. Apart from that, though, I would go screenless every time if you haven't got any vision. So have both, though.
Google Lookout, that's what you want. Google Lookout. Apparently, Google Lookout app, which isn't available on iPhones, but that app is apparently very good at detecting. I think some people are saying we should actually do a test. We should do a speed test versus something like Seeing AI, which would be the equivalent, I guess, on iPhone. You know, it seems to be much quicker than these devices. Show and tell, it's not instant, you know. It does take a bit of time. So, a bit of work to go on that one. Anyway, some other products that they came out with. Amazon Glow, which is for kids, right? It's a weird thing. So this is a little device that would sit in front of you It's got an 8-inch screen.
Which is pretty big, really.
And that's in portrait mode. So it's like a phone in that sense. It's that phone style. But it's a big device that sits there. It's got a camera and a projector. And what the projector does is it puts out in front of you a 19-inch interactive space. And that means that your child can sit on one side, and I'm taking some of the information from what I'm getting here, not visually, but from what I've been told, that this is, you know, you can draw on it, or you could, you know, paint something or whatever on this space, and the same, and that's replicated on the other side, and on the other side, if it's a parent or a friend or whoever, can sit there and do the same. So, you know, one example given was a soldier who's abroad, who's working, and she wants to talk to her child, and she wants to play with her child. Well, this allows her to do that because she can sit there and she can sort of colour in something or play interactive games or whatever it is. Definitely for kids, very visual. So, you know, this isn't for blind kids, sadly. Even blind parents would probably struggle with this a little bit, I'd imagine. But it's, you know, another product. I'd love to see an audio thing like this, but I suppose you could do that with the Echo, couldn't you? You could do that with the Echo Dot.
The clever thing about it. Oh, sorry, Tim, go on.
I was just going to say that I find it really interesting, and I think that it's something that could become for more than just kids eventually, depending on the types of skills that become available and the types of things that people get creative enough to do with it. But one of the cool applications of it that I saw, you were talking about, you know, drawing and interacting and things like that, Stephen, was doing puzzles. One of the demos I heard was, you know, a kid on one end, you know, reaching out in this virtual space or this, you know, this area and grabbing a puzzle piece and putting it in place. And then somebody on the other end of the internet, on the other end of the device, you know, grabbing a puzzle piece and putting the same puzzle together. So you're literally like you're there together putting a puzzle together, but you're doing it virtually in this 3D space, virtual space. And that just sounds really, really cool. But yeah, because you're not feeling it to reach out and touch it and actually, you know, have any kind of haptic reception to it or feedback to it, then yeah, I don't know how real plausible it is for somebody with low or no vision, but I do really like the concept.
Low vision, potentially, this could be good for.
Yes.
Amazon Glow going on sale for $250. Just a quick mention of Halo View as well. This is Amazon's new fitness tracker, which has got an AMOLED display. So I sat in on the live event, and the joy of that, actually, whilst the event was happening, was being able to speak to the PR reps for Amazon while it was going along. And immediately I asked the question, okay, Halo is a new, essentially, smartwatch aimed at fitness. It's going to come in about $80. How accessible is it, right? Is it going to have voice view built in? No. No accessibility. So that's a right away. sorry, but, you know, I'm not interested if it doesn't speak to me, right? So what use is that? It's got an all-week battery. It's got a swim-proof design. It's very like the Fitbit, in my view, of what I've heard and you know what it looks like in some regards. It's very similar to what the Fitbit offers, and it can also integrate as well, which is pretty cool with all the services that come with it. Now, how much of that is US only and how much of that is UK available, I don't know, and that's the case with a lot of these devices. Some may appear here, some may not. The Echo Show 15 is definitely coming to the UK, we know that. The Halo, I haven't seen yet in the UK, even advertised, and Amazon Glow is the same. So we shall see. And of course, the robots, you know, years off. That's just a concept design, really, let's be honest. But an interesting event, lots of talk about services, and I think some of the services for older people, safeguarding services, again, US only initially. I think this is pretty exciting, and the fact that these products are, you know, allowing us to look after our relatives. And in some cases, and I can see why this goes to America first. The company's based there, that's fair enough. But also America is a huge country, right? And if you didn't know that, then you've learned something today. But it's a huge country. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, live far, far states away. You can't just jump in a car and go around the corner and see Gran, because Gran may live about, you know, 1,500 miles away. So for that reason, these kind of products are good. It's not the case in the UK. You could probably walk to your grand's house, even if it was at the end of the country. But it just seems to me really good that these products are coming out, focusing on services that can help older people. So that was another aspect of the event I thought was pretty exciting. Any highlights from you, Tim?
You know, the highlight for me was, and forgive me, I don't remember if it was 60 US dollars or 80. It was, I'm sure one of the two of you will know, but they announced their own thermostat, which was partnered with, give me the name of a big thermostat company, because it was.
Honeywell?
Honeywell. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they partnered with Honeywell, and for that price, that's pretty darn good, and that does have the capability of speaking to Lady A, of course. And so that, in a way, can make the thermostat accessible. Now, I don't know about physically on the device and, you know, what you may see or feel or, you know, gain from it. But, of course, you can talk to Lady A and ask it about temperature or set temperatures and things like that. So for that kind of price, to be able to take a thermostat and convert it over, which compared to other accessible thermostats that, you know, have voice or something built in or that have that access, that are hundreds of dollars, you know, at least in comparison, this is a nice, easy, accessible way to get a thermostat. So I actually thought that was kind of nice just from the standpoint of accessibility for a lesser cost.
Mm-hmm. Can I say my favorite one?
Yeah, Robin, I was going to say, what's your highlights?
It's something that probably negates 90% of what the Astro is good for, and it's the Always Home Cam. It's a little drone that flies around your house, ideally when people aren't around, otherwise you'll get a haircut, which can just basically look everywhere in your house, check everything's fine, and then go back onto its little dock again. And yeah, it's, I guess, for home surveillance when you're not around. If it hears something with those services that you talked about, you know, listening for breaking glass or smoke alarm or whatever it is, it can whiz off and see what's what. It can tie in with the Echo doorbell so that you can, you know, use that as well to see what's going on. So I love it, this idea of something flying around your house. And that will be a fraction of the cost of Astro. So
yeah, it's basically a flying Astro. This is a concept, you know, beta piece that they put out last year, an announcement very similar to the Astro, and just now we're saying, okay, we can bring it out of testing. It's ready to go. And yeah, for the idea that it'll just fly around instead of roll around, because everything that you just listed, Robin, actually can be done in the Astro as well, but this is going to be smaller, portable, and yeah, fly around, which is kind of weird. But yeah, I think you could actually map it to do very specific routes throughout your home. And the Astro can do that on the ground as well, I guess. But yeah, you can actually tell this to have a certain flight pattern when you're not home to secure your house. So yeah, I think that's kind of cool.
But I mean, I think about it from my mom and dad's point of view now. I mean, I can only imagine what the conversation would be to get this into the house. But, you know, I kind of imagine a day where, you know, you can't get them on the phone. You can't raise them. You don't know what's going on. You're a bit worried about them. And you think to yourself, right, hang on a minute. I just get the Always Home Cam to, you know, go and check up on them. And it's able to fly upstairs, assuming the doors are all open, obviously. But, you know, you could fly upstairs, go into the bedroom and, you know, just check on them and, you know, say, okay, they're exactly fine or whatever. And, you know, if they see it, you know, flying around, just be like, it's all right, we're fine, you know, whatever, just getting up or whatever. I just think that's quite cool. And that to me is better than Astro at the moment. So, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe a combination of the two. A flying Astro. That's the future. Flying drones. That's what we want. The funny thing is that the thing you would think is the future, like the robot rolling around, doesn't seem hugely futuristic. But the Always Home Cam drone does sound a bit more futuristic. It sounds like the one that should be next year, but it's already coming out of beta and going to be made available, which is interesting.
I think from a companion point of view, when the AI is such that you can actually have a conversation that feels like that person is a semi-real person and has, you know, can have some companionship for you, then having something in a physical presence that follows you around, that actually occupies some space and makes you feel less lonely, you know, for someone who needs that level of support, I think that would beware of robot would be handy.
Listen, there's loads of studies about this and the people who are saying that this would be a huge benefit to people. The thing we kind of forget, you know, we're all guys with wives, right? So we're, and a lot of our listeners may well be, a lot of them may not be, right? I don't know, but there's a lot of lonely people and a lot of, not lonely people, but there's a lot of people alone out there. Not necessarily lonely. A lot of people are perfectly happy being on their own. Some prefer it. Totally understand that. But there's a lot of people out there who don't have anybody, who are lonely, and devices can help in this way. So making them as human as possible, or humanizing them to some degree, you know, with blinking eyes or whatever it is on the screen, that's a really nice thing. And if it can make it, some people might go, that's ridiculous, but I don't think it is. I think if we can, you know, make this world a little bit less lonely for people, and that's how we do it, then great. I mean, look, how many people sit staring at their smartphones all day, all night? You're not telling me you don't consider that a companion, right? So stick a pair of eyes on it and a pair of wheels. Doesn't, you know, make it any less of a companion or any, you know, any weirder as a companion. But anyway, right, look, we must move on because loads to talk about on the show this week. We're going to be discussing smart washing machines in a few moments' time. We're going to get a demonstration from Madeline Bloom from the Tech for Life team. She's just got herself a brand new smart washing machine. She wants to tell us all about it. But first, how can technology help conditions like COPD? Let's find out as we talk tech with Oscar Edmondson.
With Talking Tech, I'm Oscar Edmondson. Over 1.2 million people in the UK suffer from COPD, making it the second most common lung disease after asthma. What's more, cases have increased by 27% in the last decade. But a group of researchers have found that we can train our respiratory muscles, the same as we would train any others, with a device called the breather. To tell us more, we are joined today by Nina Borsek, Chief Scientist of Luft for Life, the company behind the breather.
The breather is not a new device. It was developed 40 years ago by a respiratory therapist called Peggy Nicholson. And what she saw, she was working with COPD patients, and she saw that the medications that you get, the inhalers and everything, they provide short-term relief, but they don't address the underlying problem. And the underlying problem is really that your respiratory muscles are not able to meet the demand. So she was looking for a device that can help with that. And the principle of the breather is very simple. You breathe in and out against resistance. And what happens is the muscle gets bigger, the muscle gets more effective, and the muscle produces more power output. So that means that your breathing gets easier because the muscles are more effective and they're stronger.
When using the device, clinical trials show an increase of respiratory muscle strength by 31%. With almost 400,000 people in the UK reporting symptoms of long COVID, it is hoped that techniques like this could help thousands of people improve their breathing.
COPD is a very important disease. It affects, you know, more than a million people in the UK. It's on the rise due to pollution and also due to altered breathing patterns, actually. But the biggest symptoms that people look out for is really the breathlessness. Can your breathing muscles meet the demand that you put on them? If you go for a walk, do you go out of breath? If you walk up the stairs, do you get out of breath? If you go running, do you feel breathless more than you did before? You know, it's the breathlessness and the exercise intolerance, that's the medical term of it, you know, just not being able to exercise because you fear that you will be out of breath.
So if you're struggling with long-standing COPD, or just struggle with your breathing, it might be worth looking into the breather. With Talking Tech, I'm Oscar Edmondson.
Thanks, Oscar. This is Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio, and time now to talk about accessible washing machines. Madeline Bloom's just got one. She is a part of RNIB's Technology for Life team, and she wants to share what she's bought with us.
Hello, my name is Madeline Bloom. I'm working for the RNIB Technology for Life team. And today it's my turn to talk to you about something that I have discovered in the technology world that really changed my life in the last couple of months. So I'm talking to you today about washing machines, but not any washing machine. I'm talking to you about smart washing machine. Don't switch off. It's not going to get boring and it's not going to get too technical. I was against smart washing machine, just like I've been against iPhones or smartphones in general about 10 years ago. And I must honestly say, this is a revolution. Now, I bought a washing machine about a year and a half ago, and I was quite annoyed about the choice that I had when actually looking at washing machines that I, as a totally blind person, can use and that I can navigate around without any difficulties. So I wanted a nice washing machine that could fit into my utility room, that would give me a few extras if I wanted them. But hey, all these smart washing machines had a touchscreen. I don't mind touchscreens, but I do mind touchscreens when it is about electric appliances that might still need a little bit of time to get up to scratch with their speech, or that are connected to apps that might be updated. I had my apprehensions about that. I thought, fear not, we decided we go ahead and buy this thing. And we chose a washing machine of a company called Miele, M-I-E-L-E. You can get different washing machines in the smart range. Just have a look and see what takes your fancy. But this demonstration today and my musings are all about the Miele washing machine that we decided to go for. Now, where to start? It's all quite mind-bustling, to be honest. There's so much information to take in. We're not quite sure which one will actually do the job. And will the app be accessible once we buy the right device? In the App Store or Google Play Store, you can have a bit of a look and make your own impression about the app and how it works for you, but it's just a demo mode that you can browse, so you can't really work out how the app will work once you use it in your day-to-day life. I read about it and I decided to speak to Miele Customer Services. My findings are that every washing machine that starts with W1 and every dryer that starts with T1 have accessible menus and settings. The washing machines always look similar too. You've got the wheel on the right hand side that allows you to go through different programs. You don't really need that because you only concentrate on the mobile start program or setting that you need to use your app for. But on the top of the wheel, you've got a little marking that indicates your position where you currently are to make your choice. When you think about the screen on the washing machine on the left-hand side, on the screen, bottom right corner, you always have the start position. So you need that button in order to press it to close the doors and to start your laundry. In the middle of the screen, you have an OK button, and on the left of the screen, up and down, you have your up and down arrow. All washing machines and dryers that come with a Wi-Fi ability can be used with the Miele app that you can download from your store. The Miele app updates every now and then, and you need to kind of adjust with the updates that it makes. But on the whole, if you try not to get distracted with all the images that you can see on the screen, it is quite accessible. And it definitely makes your life a lot easier if you have to, like me, cope with a lot of washing in your day-to-day life. Now, I was always counting. I was forever standing here counting how many times I need to press that button to get into that menu. Sometimes I needed to get some sighted assistance to read the screen to me because my phone wouldn't read it back. And that always happened when it's really awkward to ask someone. There was no sighted person in the house, or someone that I had called wouldn't be able to read the screen for me because my OCR apps didn't read it either. So I decided to go for the appliance that would give me all the information I need on my app. And to be honest, I don't want to look back. Yes, it costs more money. I spent a considerable amount of money on these devices, but I must honestly say I'm not looking back. In the next minutes, I'm going to demonstrate to you how I start a simple load of laundry. Enjoy! Okay, here I am now with my Miele appliances. Today, I'm choosing to demonstrate how to wash It's a normal load of laundry with all sorts of mixed colored items that I have in the house. So I'm choosing to use a cotton wash program, not cotton hygiene, but cotton wash, about 40 degrees. And that will do for all the items that are in there. So the first thing I need to do is to close the door. Then I twist the wheel on the washing machine once to the right into the mobile start position. On the screen of the appliance, I find the bottom right corner and close the door. That noise indicates that the door is shut and I can begin to use the app on my smartphone. Open Miele.
Welcome to Miele.
From the top of the screen, you swipe until you hear your screen reader announce washing machine.
Image. Camera. Washing machine.
Then you double tap to open.
Miele.
Start from the bottom of the screen to swipe upwards in order to make your selection.
Tap bar. Selected. Please select.
It was announcing please select. Please double tap here.
Please select. Button. Close.
Now you can swipe through all the options, and I make you hear a selection of those.
Button, button, image, programs. Please select button. Search for a program, programs. Image, riff, automatic plus. Image, image, clean machine. Image, image, cottons. Image, image, cottons hygiene. Image, image, curtains. Image, image, dark garments slash denim. Image, image, delicates. Image, image, down duvets. Image, image, down filled items. Image, image, drain slash spin. Image, image, Ether 40, 60. Image, image, Express 20. Image, image, first wash. Image, image, minimum iron. Image, image, outerwear.
So these were quite a few that you could hear here. It's quite nice to see, as a blind person, that I can do my own selection. Didn't you just hate to stand in front of a washing machine where probably all of a sudden a knob fell off and you couldn't anymore make your selection for the right program, or something went wrong and you forgot how many times you have to twist that dial to the left or the right? In this case, your screen reader is announcing quite nicely what program to choose from. Today, I want to choose cotton.
Down duvets. Image, image, delicates. Image, image, dark garments. Image, image, curtains. Image, image, cottons hygiene. Image, image, cottons.
On the bottom of the screen, once I selected cotton, there's a done button that I need to find and double tap on it to select.
Done it. Button. Done it.
Now I'm back on the screen where I make my selections and I can start the program because I'm quite happy with the spin speed I previously selected, and everything else I need to select is also switched on. So I find the start button.
Tap bar. Selected. Image. Play. A yellow triangle against a grey background.
And I double tap to start.
Image. Play. A yellow triangle against a grey background.
Success! This is the washing machine starting, and once it's finished, I get a handy notification on my mobile phone that tells me that my washing machine has finished. Also now in the app, I can see when my washing machine is about to finish. So let's have a little look on the screen now.
Back button. Washing machine. Heading. Button. Settings. Appliance. Button. Status. Button. Image, a photo containing a logo other. Laundry can be added. Simply pause your program and add your laundry. If no laundry is added, the appliance will continue automatically after 10 minutes. Main program parameters. Image, a black and white logo on a black background. Program. Cottons. Image, an illustration of a wrench on a black surface. Temperature. 40 degrees Celsius. Image, a spin speed. 1,600 revolutions per minute. Further options. Image, a white loop, 20. Four colors. Miele, now, washing machine, the duration of your program has been automatically adjusted based on the current load and dispensing.
Why did you hear this message just now? The load of my program was probably not 10 kilos. It has adjusted all the settings for the program it needs. So it probably takes less time and it needs less twin dose or washing liquid than expected.
Time. Image. A white circle. Time left. 1:27. Image. Finish it. 17:40. Button. Text.
So there's a bit of good news. Instead of the usual 2 hours that it takes with around 8 to 10 kilos of washing load, it has automatically adjusted it to 1 hour 27 minutes. So this is great. Don't need to wait for too long tonight to get my laundry clean. The same or similar procedure I can go through with my dryer at a later stage to get this laundry dry.
Well, Madeline, thank you so much for that. That was Madeline Bloom there from the Technology for Life team talking us through her Miele washing machine. She mentioned there just at the end about the dryer as well. So maybe you can also get a smart dryer, which is kind of cool. That very, very interesting to hear all that capability through the app, right?
Yeah, good. It cracks me up that she says, as you know, a member of the Technology for Life team, that she wasn't pro smartphones and she wasn't pro smart home until. But yeah, she's a convert, definitely.
Well, 10 years ago, yeah. I mean, and let's be honest, none of us were. I don't know about you, but I certainly wasn't. I thought, you know, a sheet of glass. How am I going to use that? That's me. I'm finished in the world of tech. And I think a lot of people still think that way around smart. Or not smart, but white goods, you know, these appliances, appliances, because they are challenging. You know, I have my dishwasher, for example, which has just got like a load of buttons on it. And it's just all I did when I got it installed was ask the guy, right, what combination of buttons do I need to press? And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes the button doesn't press properly. So you don't get the response that you expect and you wonder why your dishes are not clean. But it's because you know, hit the button twice, you hit it three times, but only registered it twice, that kind of thing. So we need more control over our appliances than this, frankly. I say white goods, but of course these days you get them in all colours, don't you? So no, I used to call them white goods because they were just white. Now they're every colour under the rainbow. But anyway, there we go. Right, well, very interesting. Thank you for that, Madeline. And of course, we'll put the notes as well in the podcast notes as well, where you can find more information about those specific products from Miele.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Every day.
Here's your mail today.
Who was singing along there? I heard you.
You heard nothing.
Right, let's get into the emails then this week. And as always, we are joined by the wonderful artificial intelligence. We don't have real intelligence in this show. We have artificial intelligence. People have been saying it for years. Right, let's get to our first email. This is regarding the Microsoft event. Rebecca Skipper has been in touch.
Although the product line didn't excite me, I'm impressed with Microsoft's public commitment to accessibility and some of the simple things introduced with the Surface Adaptive Kit. I'm not giving up on Windows anytime soon because of its functionality and Microsoft's philosophy.
Fair point, Rebecca. Yeah, I think it's clear that Microsoft showed their commitment to accessibility with the Surface Adaptive Kit for sure. So yeah, that was really interesting. Guys, I think it's fair to say it's been a very good event for Microsoft. Really, you know, talking properly about accessibility, not just evangelizing about it being a thing that we need to all be aware of and we need to take part in whatever form that is, but actually showing how.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was great to see Dave Dame, who's Director of Accessibility, demoing it. And he had cerebral palsy and just leading the way in that organization. You know, they're definitely walking the walk as well as talking the talk, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, what I found really exciting about it, because to say, well, I mean, some tactile stickers and buttons and, you know, things like that. Well, what's so exciting about that? It's low tech. Yeah, but what's cool about it is that they're thinking about it from that point of view to say, okay, we're working on Narrator, for example, and making sure that Windows 11 has accessibility and, you know, things like that. what are the practical problems that somebody with a disability might have when it comes to our products? What is inaccessible about them to different types of people? You know, solving the issue of opening up the surface for, you know, someone like Dave, who has cerebral palsy, you know, and has very limited function of his hands, you know, being able to use something to open that device up, or for us having those stickers, that's something that we've always just had to figure out on our own. Like they talked about in that demonstration, and we discussed that last week, that we just get our own, you know, our own sticky dots or bump dots or what have you, and just figure it out. And for them to say, no, we're actually just going to include it, or even be a pack that you can just buy, and voila, you know, it's one less headache. And you know, some people say, oh, it's just superficial and too little too late. It's like, no, you know what, actually, I'm very happy that they're thinking literally outside the box and within the box to try to figure out what to do to make things easier for us. And I can never complain about that.
I want to shout out for AbilityNet as well, because, you know, we're all over disability right across the spectrum. So if anyone listening to this, you know, has motor difficulties, has any other impairment alongside a vision impairment, then give AbilityNet a call. You know, we can talk about lots of both sort of high-end, low-tech solutions that can help. Can I chuck in the free phone number?
Could I stop you?
0800 04 876 42.
Now, a couple of episodes ago, you may remember I got a bit on my high horse around smartphones and the conversation around their use by blind people. Oftentimes we hear that, you know, a lot of blind people don't use smartphones. They tend to prefer not to because of the challenges that come with it, which is a reasonable assertion. But my view being that it's better to get on the train and start the journey, right? As opposed to not make the journey. Well, of course, there's been a few emails back and forth about this one. Let's hear what Billy has to say.
Hi, Stephen, Robin, and Tim. I just wanted to pick up from where Sean was saying that smartphones with a touch screen shouldn't be a barrier to visually impaired people, and then he apologized for making the point. I totally agree, but don't think he should feel it is necessary to apologize for saying so, because as someone with no useful vision whatsoever, I use and would now feel lost without my iPhone. I began using a smartphone with a silicon sleeve over it, which created a keypad and used a system called Claria or Clarion from the RNIB. It was a Samsung phone which could be used in two interfaces, either with the sleeve or with a touch screen if the user felt confident enough. However, after hearing so much about the benefits of using an iPhone, usually when listening to Tech Talk podcast, I made the leap to an iPhone 6, and excuse the pun, I haven't looked back. I am now on my third iPhone, which is the SE 2020, and I think they're absolutely amazing devices. I am considering trying out a Google Pixel phone, but that's only because I would prefer to be able to customize my phone more than I can with the iPhone. But in all honesty, I can't imagine using anything else at the moment. One more point I would like to make is, when in the past you have spoken about overuse of phones and Sean has disagreed, saying it isn't any different to reading papers, magazines or books. On this occasion I wholeheartedly disagree with him, as I do think people spend far too much time staring at their devices. I've lost count of the number of times that I've been having a conversation with someone and I've had to repeat myself or ask if they're still there, only to hear what's becoming a standard reply: "I was just checking something on my phone." Well, excuse me, let me know how much I owe you for the conversation and I'll be off. The other regular irritation is when walking down the street, with or without my wife, I'll regularly get pulled to one side if accompanied, or barged into if alone. This is invariably because someone approaching in the opposite direction has their face stuck in their phone and expects everyone to move for them. Anyway, that's my rant over, and I'll bring this to a close by saying I would recommend trying out an iPhone or touchscreen Android if you prefer, to anyone who is visually impaired. Honestly, they can open so many doors. Keep up the good work to all involved with Tech Talk. Best wishes, Billy.
Thanks, Billy. I don't think there's any more I can add to that.
No, very, very well said.
Yeah, and that says it all, frankly. Well, look, we're almost out of time this week, but I want to give our final word to Kelly, long-time listener to the show. This is Kelly Muggeridge from West Sussex with her comment this week.
Hi gang, after listening to the same old argument regarding smartphones and mobile phones, I thought that we should shut the whole thing up, cheer ourselves up, and go down memory lane and discuss the tech we used to use and have. Maybe this could be our next feature. If there are any listeners out there who have a piece of tech that stood out for them, and was their favorite, it will be really good to hear about them and why they loved it so much. I will start by getting the ball rolling and tell you what mine is. Mine is the much talked about Opticon. We already discussed what it is and what it does, so I won't go through that again, but it stands out a long way. Think of what you might have used. It could be at your job, it could be at school, it could be what you had during your childhood, it could be a game, it could be anything. What did you love, what did you hate, was it great, anything? Let's have a whole hour of going down memory lane. Let's have some fun, and let's talk about the tech we love the most. For example, Stephen, you have a piece of tech, you used it on Double Tap Canada. It was the Franklin Talking Dictionary. I had one, very popular at the time. Take care and look forward to the next Tech Talk podcast. All the best, Kelly Muggeridge.
Kelly, deciding the future of conversation on the show. I love this. I love it. Tech from the past. Wow. I mean, look, we're not going to get into that this week for sure, but that is definitely something we should think about. And yeah, please do get in touch because, you know, there's nothing nicer sometimes than wandering down memory lane. The tech I think of that I used to use at school, that I used to use as a kid. I mentioned that Franklin Talking Dictionary on the other show. You're absolutely right, Kelly, I did. And I love that. The fact it still works to this day is incredible.
That was
incredible.
The cool part about that demonstration was that you powered it on and it still worked. It was fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah, perfectly. Yeah. I mean, there's like nothing wrong with it at all. And the interesting thing is, often we talk about this kind of technology. It's so... A lot of this tech for blind people, especially the specialist tech, tends to live on much better. I don't know why that is. Maybe, you know, maybe because it's specialist, you know, because there aren't, you know, billions of them made, the work is harder to make them good. I don't know what it is, but, you know, they seem to last longer. Specialist device. I mean, look at people with Braille devices that have got them for like 25 years. It's just, you know, the tech seems to last longer. But yeah, anyway, we can absolutely wander round memory lane for sure.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
That sounds pretty good. Listen, thank you so much, guys, for being with me this week. It's been an interesting one. Lots of interesting tech to talk about. We'll be doing it all again next week, as always. Do keep your emails coming, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Don't forget, you can catch Tim with the Life After Blindness podcast. Just search for that wherever you get your podcasts, good and bad. The other podcasts, not Tim's. And also, you can get Robin. He's got the Echo Show. He's got Dot to Dot. You also find him, as he mentioned, at AbilityNet. So, yeah, check him out as well. Like I said, we'll be back again next week for more Tech Talk. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.